The queen, my lord, is dead. And so is Chris. I suck at acting, but Barry got a little bit better today. We have so much to talk about. Chapter 7, loud, fast, and keep going. So don't go away.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This is America. Don't catch us living now. Don't catch you slipping now.
Great choice. We're still on this.
This is America.
We had to get the gun chopped, you guys, because people are dying.
Left and right. Yes.
This is America.
It's true. You guys, chapter 7, loud, fast, and keep going. This episode was nuts. Before we get into it, I'm Steph Sabron. To my left is
Miss Conversation Peace, and loud, fast, and keep going sounds like my life.
Yes. What's up, party people? I'm Erica Edwards.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay, so this is kind of the episode where Barry's life comes crashing in. The acting class is totally exposed. I mean, he's completely exposed. His life, his outside life, and Facebook life has failed him. People are dying. Chris is dying, and we see a ton of development, I feel like, with this episode. So what's your guys' overall opinion?
I think Barry has been doing good up until this point with his career. Like, he really was a good hitman, and now I don't know if it's Sally calling him at the wrong time, getting his feelings all involved, but he's not doing a good job anymore.
Oh, see, I don't know. I feel like this episode, it was a sad episode, but I feel like, okay, when it comes to being a hitman, yeah, he did a great job. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was wrong to get in the truck with Taylor's crazy butt anyway, because he knew that Taylor was an idiot and didn't know what was going on. So I definitely feel like he's getting it together.
Oh my gosh. It was, I do have to shout out Liz Sarnoff is who wrote this episode, and Bill Hader was going off about how great it was, and in the writing room they were kind of all amazed by what she's done, and it was truly written so good. And now we have, this is, Barry has to kill his friend. A full-on war is breaking up between the Chechens and the Bolivians. They want, the Chechens want Fuchs dead, Sally's maybe getting her big break, and Moss is closing in on finishing the case. So let's just first hit it with the Chechens, the Bolivians, and Fuchs. The episode starts by showing the final scene of last episode where we have the bum rush, and that's from the, and we get it from the Bolivians, perspective, and they're kind of like, what the heck is happening? Because what idiots? I mean, it was mainly Taylor, but what an idiot. And then we see Taylor and Vaughn dead, and that leaves Barry and Chris alone, and it ends up being where the one of the Bolivians finds their traces. Chris has to kill him and really doesn't want to. We find out that Chris was just in the technical aspect of it, or the logistics, and he's going off. Did you guys think that once I started seeing him being like, okay, I can't go through with this. Like, there's no way I can't come clean. I was like, Barry, like Erica was saying, he does have to kill him. Mm-hmm. Did you guys think that was going to happen when you knew, like, from the beginning, or when did you know it was going to happen?
I knew at that point when he said it, when Barry said, why did you say that? Like, now I have to kill you, because even though you're backtracking saying that, you know, oh, it's okay now. I know. As soon as you get out of this car, as soon as you drop me off, you're calling the police. So
yeah,
he signed his own death warrant right there. Death wish, I mean.
Yeah, I thought Barry was going to kill him once he started calling Barry too much, because clearly he wasn't. He was freaking out for the beginning. So even before Barry met with him, I was like, he's, you know what I mean? If you can't trust the person, the person's freaking out. Like, that's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm. But why did he even get recruited for this? If he was never the killer type, who even told
Taylor
him to come?
Taylor recruited
him. Yeah, Taylor.
But why did he go along?
Because he's Taylor told crazy. Him they were just going to fight some and scare some guys. Remember in the car? And originally, he didn't know what they were going for. And Barry was the one who was like, get out the car. And he was like, no, I'm bad. I can fight. Which maybe if it was like a brawl, he could, you know?
So stupid.
He seems scary, though. Like, he can't even fight either.
Then we get the, we do get the introduction of Cristobal Cifuentes, which is the, I guess, the leader of the Bolivian mob.
I'm going to interrupt real quick before we move on. I watched the episode last night, too. I just want to quickly shout out this actor who was playing Chris, because this scene was seriously so...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's Chris Marquette who's playing this
Yeah,
kid.
Okay.
Did you guys ever think, I don't know, I found myself pretty emotional. Like, I was on the edge of my seat during this scene.
I was too, yeah.
Did you ever think this show would take you there? That's what, I'm so impressed by what the show is doing tonally, because, like, I never expected to get to that place as a viewer as I did last night.
Erica?
I would agree. Like, I think going in, and that's what I was thinking too when I was coming in today, like this episode and the last episode was more drama than comedy. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Which, like, I love that. I love them both. But it was still had funny moments. But, like, this episode, I was like, wow. I mean, I wasn't quite, like, crying because I was like, Chris, you're a wimp and you're not too bright. So I was like, okay, he's going to have to kill you. But I loved the part after where Bill Hader was talking about how the actor was, like, so... could so quickly get to that emotional state, because you could tell he was totally hysterical. There was nothing funny about it, and you could tell the moment he realized that Barry was going to kill
yeah.
him. Because clearly the backtracking was just when he realized, like, when that other truck drives up, he's like, oh, when that man drives away, Barry's going to kill me, and he, like, knows it.
No,
so,
yeah.
And that part was, like, just so well performed.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. I was so, there's so much that happened on this episode that I didn't even get to debrief really my emotions about it. I did not think the show would take it to that level. Like, this was way, people had said it was relatable to Dexter, but I don't think up until now it really got that. This was really heavy, especially with the clips of, which we'll talk about later, of Chris's wife and everything. But yeah, I heard what Bill said, and he was really impressed with the acting of it. And I was too, because I was like, there is not one bit of, like, you, in some of the other serious scenes, you have a little tint of funny. There was nothing funny about it. It was crazy.
Well, and the last thing I'll say is, for those who didn't see, Erica was talking about the end of the episode thing. Just a little behind the scenes look, they were talking even in the writer's room when they were debriefing all of this. The writers were kind of discussing it casually, like, well, yeah, then Barry and Chris will be in the car, and then... And they all came to the realization at the same time.
Right, like, Chris has got to
die. I found that to be very moving and surprisingly powerful for a show that I didn't expect to go there. So.
Yeah, and I definitely was on the edge of my seat when I always was thinking that Barry might get caught. Because as soon as Detective Moss heard, oh, military, and she looked at Barry's picture, and I was like, oh, no, he's about to get caught. So that's kind of where I was on the edge of my seat, like, oh, no, Barry can't go to jail. So, and then when I found out Taylor, the police were led to Taylor, and then they found the book, and I was like, did Barry plan that? Like,
no, remember Taylor took the book out of his bag and put the money in it.
Well, that's why he started learning to use it, too. Or, make the unsafe choice.
Right, make the unsafe choice. Take that risk. And now what was so interesting, I thought, was how Chris was so good, Barry was so good. Oh, I'm sorry, I digress. I, like, spaced out for a minute. What was interesting, what I thought, the writers made a great choice in choosing Chris to be the person that he killed, because they talked about this after the episode as well, that, like, he didn't want to kill a Marine, he didn't want to kill Taylor, and Taylor was, like, clearly a psychopath and crazy. If you were going to kill anybody, you would kill Taylor and, like, so not feel bad. But the choice to kill Chris, the one person with the family and the son, just brings it home.
And that he was connected to as well, because he wasn't really connected to Taylor. Taylor kind of just hopped in his passenger side, like, let's do this.
Yeah, and I know they had mentioned just, like, those characters were, everything about this show is purposeful, which I really admire, and just the juxtaposition of those two characters being kind of the two different paths Barry's life could take, and he killed the one that he wants.
Right.
All those, like, daydreams of Sally and all the normal life he killed. So it was really crazy. On the flip side of that, we have the funniest scenes of the episode, I think, was Cristobal talking to Goron and Noho about the four agreements. And he's like, oh, I read that great book. Like, so Noho was just on point this episode.
Like, why were they on the phone, like, laying in bed, talking to each other, like, but I gotta kill you, though. Like, I don't, when he was talking to Fuchs, it's like they were, like, I don't know. It's like some weird stuff going on with their whole relationship, because it's like they're on the phone, but it's not like friend. It was kind of like more than
Yeah.
Did you get it kind
of
wrong?
No, yeah, yeah. I think that was, it's kind of like the point Cristobal and Goron, all these people that kill and do these things aren't what you would think. Like, they're like fully, like, three-dimensional characters and so weird.
Well, yeah, what I think is interesting is NoHo Mike, right? Is
that NoHo Hank.
Hank, NoHo Hank. He, I think his character is like, you know, he's a little bit on the cuff as to if he's straight or not. And so he was the one who was like, oh my gosh, I was someplace and I thought I saw Barry. And like, of course, Fuchs misses Barry because that was like his nephew almost. But NoHo Mike.
Oh, Hank, when they find out that two Marines were killed and they
assume
it's
Barry.
Yeah, so
when NoHo Hank is like, I think that's the scene she was talking about, when NoHo Hank is on the phone with Fuchs and they're kind of like, oh, I miss Barry. I miss Barry too.
Oh,
and
yes.
And that scene was crazy.
Yes.
But the part about the four agreements was so well played. Like, I thought the actor that played Fuentes, the Bolivian, was like so straight, and he was like, but you know, and that's the truth, because I've read that book, the first one.
Oh,
you
really?
gotta be true to your word. Mm. And I gotta support my man, so yep, we're at war now. And it was just so funny because he was like so straight with it, and Gordon was like, oh my gosh, he's so nice, but now I'm at war.
That's hilarious.
But it's crazy because Fuchs was trying to get Barry to take out the stash house by himself. And now, first of all, do you think Barry could have taken the stash house by himself? And if he would have done it, he wouldn't have had Taylor in the mix. He wouldn't have Chris in the mix. And Fuchs would be getting killed.
No, because Fuchs is an idiot. He just proved
no,
this.
Fuchs went along with it, but now they want to kill Fuchs. But what I'm saying is that would have let Barry have the outs, because Fuchs would be dead. He wouldn't have else to, you know, tell him what to do. But now that he brought Taylor into it and Chris into it, mm-hmm. now he can't just easily walk away.
Well, yeah, and I think, honestly, had Barry done it alone, it would have worked. So I think that's the part that's hilarious. It's like, okay, well, Barry, had you done this on yourself?
But do you think he would have made it out by himself with all those people?
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that the war would have been started. Because Fuchs is the one who gave Goron and NoHo the advice to take the stash house and kill everyone, because he said the Bolivians wouldn't.
So you think they have to kill Barry, too?
I mean, no, I'm just saying this is a part of it, obviously, is Barry's fault, but a lot of this is Fuchs' orchestration. And even when he thinks he's dead, he's like, he didn't get a chance to apologize to me.
Right, exactly. But here's the thing, too. Like, Fuchs was the one who told them, okay, you know, when they were trying to kill him, he's like, okay, well, if you're trying to get the Bolivians, this is what you do. You take their stash out, so they'll come down here. But at the end of the day, bottom line, if Barry did his job the way he always has, the whole point was they were supposed to hide there and kill Fuentes. Barry wasn't going to drive up there. He would have taken a man out anyway. And then it would have been chaos. And, you know, that was the plan. And it would have worked had Barry done it solo.
Mm-hmm.
But because Barry was trying to get out and trying to have Taylor and all this other stuff, now it's a hot mess.
Yeah. This is really, like, showed that Barry becoming more of a socialized human is so detrimental to his life.
I think Barry might have done it alone if Taylor never got in the car and went through his little
folder. No, of course. Yeah. I mean, Taylor pushed him into it, and I think that episode where we see him basically trying to get Taylor to take his job, he was kind of like training Taylor. Like, okay, this is what we do. You can take over for me if you just get along with Fuchs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he made, you know, probably his biggest mistake, because Taylor, it was an idiot.
Yeah. And before we move on to the next topic, I do want to bring up something fun for you guys. If you're looking to learn and grow in all areas of your life, we have the podcast, perfect podcast for you. It's called Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. It's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secret tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria for free. Comment, rate, let them know that the Barry panel sent you. You guys
that
will
is
not
us.
Be disappointed. Yeah. Okay, so let's bring it back to after Barry has to kill Chris. He's in the car, and on the flip side of it, he knows that he has this Macbeth performance with Sally. And there's another daydream, and this daydream was the one that I really thought was real. I mean, the daydreams of him doing the Macbeth performance, I thought were real until the final moment. Did you guys, like, think that that was him at all, or was I just being, like, wishful thinking?
No, I thought it was him for real. I was like, oh, he finally got his line right. Barry is an actor, but I mean, in the end, Sally praised him, so he did a good job regardless whether it was a dream or not.
Mm-hmm. I really thought that, to me, ever since, I don't know, like some of the earlier family scenes, I just like was not a huge fan of. But now I really feel like they're doing a good job with his flashes. Like now it's totally like you understand that this is just kind of what he's imagining or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting like used to it now or whatever. So now I'm like,
so do you guys think we have to go through a traumatic experience to be an actor? Because it's like Barry just came, took his robe off and was like,
Oh my God, whatever
the line was. Like, he killed his one line. Even Cousteau said he did a great job.
That whole scene of him, the before he went and killed his line, which he absolutely did, him recalling what his wife, Chris's wife, would do and like the marine funeral and everything was so crazy, because I feel like this is definitely we see it. It's affecting Barry in a way that hasn't before, because he defined himself as killing basically douchebags and jerks, you know, people who kind of deserved it. Like, he rationalized it. And this is the one time where he's killing, I feel like, just for himself. Right. Like, and for the safety of, like, the case and the Chechens and everything. Because if Chris went and narked, the Chechens would have killed his entire family. I do think that. But that was just a really emotional scene for me, because that was real. Like, this woman has to live the rest of her life thinking that her husband killed himself.
And he was such a nice guy.
Yeah. So then we do have, we have Sally, and she has a small-time agent, Daniel Meldum, who she wants to impress, and I guess that was Emma Stone's agent before she got too big, and she was kind of sucking at her lines, and then Barry comes in, and he's almost late, but he delivers his lines, like you said, he killed it, and the agent afterwards ends up telling Sally to give him a call because she did really well. And of course, Sally was like, took Gene's advice of finding a partner, you know, and like use that, and thinking that Barry's she really thought she was doing partner work, but real. And then the best line she had was, whatever you did tonight to get in that place, that's your new process. Okay. All you have to do is that every time. What do you think Barry's thoughts were after that? Because he looked happy when he was talking to her, but he was obviously like so screwed up.
I can only imagine. I mean, Barry at that moment, what I feel was like he still wanted to make her happy. Like, he was happy that she was happy. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, well, two things. One thing I like about the way they ended the episode was, originally, like, when they were doing the flashes, like, one thing I thought was so amazing about, you know, just the direction, because this is a 30-minute show, so the clips were so quick and so precise. It's like, okay, it's the funeral, it's her getting the call, it's, you know, all that stuff, and it's like, yeah, that's like a minute, or if it was even that, to impact you with all those images. And then, but that is kind of, there are different processes to acting, but one of them is substituting and putting yourself in that moment where, you know, someone has died or whatever, if that's what you're supposed to get to for the scene. So this was the first time they really showed him using what he was going through in his acting. And so that's why it's like, oh my gosh, you were so great. And like Henry Winkler's line was like, okay, clearly you're still in that process. Yeah. So I'll come back. But great job.
But that's what I'm saying as an actress. Erica, do you have to go through something?
Well, that's
like
what I'm
that?
Saying. It's different. There's different, different genres or different, you know,
methods.
Thank you. There's different methods. So one method is like that, where you substitute what you've been through and you put yourself in that space, and that's how you make yourself cry on cue or whatever, because you put your mind or your heart back into when my mother died or when something.
Right.
That is one method of acting that a lot of people do.
Yeah, I feel like Sally she started crying after seeing Barry's reaction, and it's like she's feeding off of him, but he's feeding off of his emotions.
Right. And so there's another method of acting. I think it's Meisner, where you go back and forth with the person. Okay. And you just, like, you let whatever they're saying or whatever emotion they're giving out impact you. Mm-hmm. And then you mirror it or send it back. And so that's kind of what she was doing. But theoretically, had she done her substitution right from before, she would have been sucking in the beginning. So if she had done what Barry did, you know, yeah, she could have, mm-hmm, because that's and the she thing was with acting. Sucking. Yeah, mm-hmm, you never know what your partner's going to do. You could have a bad partner. So you need to be able to get there on your own. And clearly, Sally can't do that.
Yeah.
Mm, so she might not be a good actor.
Well, I'm not going to say that. She's getting better every
she
week.
She can't take that, constructive criticism. Right.
Every week she's paying her money, and Henry is going to bring her through.
I think she's a good actress, but she's so shallow and focused on the stupid stuff right now. That's like, how can you reach into a place and grab emotion like that? Like, you literally just had to shop it off of.
Right. And I really wanted that agent to ask for Barry's number, because I was like,
I thought that was going to happen.
I was like, he's going to ask Barry. She's really going to be mad. Because yes. I was like, because she was horrible for, like, the first half. He should have been like, wait a minute, who was that person that got you to get right? Like, yes. That's what I thought was going to happen. So I was kind of surprised. I was like, you're not even going to get Barry your card, nothing. So I was a little surprised by that. But
I want to jump back really quick to the discussion you guys are having around, like, method and how Barry had to get there through trauma. Mm-hmm. I think what's so smart about this show is every time we see these anti-hero shows where you're rooting for a killer like Dexter or Breaking Bad, there has to be a currency in it for the protagonist. So, like, in Breaking Bad, he's making money for his family. Or, like, Weeds is that way, too. Or in Dexter, you know, the good thing is that he's killing
serial
bad guys.
Serial killers, right.
But what's so smart about this is it's the first time I've seen it where their serial killer tendencies are feeding something artistic. It's like, this is such a fresh take on the currency that your anti-hero needs to justify what they're doing. And I think it's, like, such an interesting and new way to, like, reshape the anti-hero show. Mm-hmm. I'm just, like, obsessed with the idea that Barry needs this to succeed artistically. It's really interesting.
Yes, I totally agree. I think it's such, it's like so funny too, that it's like, okay, yeah, do you really need to murder somebody to get into that place of you gonna be Macbeth murdering people?
Yeah.
And so, like, just that whole concept I think is hilarious. But what's really funny is how on point it is also on the acting side of it. Like, on the hitman side, I mean, I don't know, but it seems accurate. And then on the acting side, and it's nice, because I think the whole season, I'm kind of like, when he's going to use his real life to really improve his acting. And so finally they get there, which I like.
Mm-hmm. I think it is accurate, because there's a lot of serial killers that were actors before. So I want to get into the serial killer segment.
Oh, your serial killer segment? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like that Law and Order reference right there. Yeah. All right, so this one, I think I'm going to go with Sopranos actor Lilo Brancato Jr. was charged with second-degree murder in the shooting death of an off-duty police officer in 2005. He was acquitted of the murder charge but found guilty on attempted burglary. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison but was released on parole in 2013. He's from Colombia, and he's 42 years old, and he's free man now. But he killed somebody doing a robbery. And he was an actor. I don't understand.
Did y'all hear about that? Money runs out, boo. That money runs out.
I know, because he only had one role.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he couldn't be a PA or something? Anything?
Yeah, but you have bills to pay. He might have kids. It's hard out here.
PAs make good money.
It's hard out here in these LA streets. Or those New York
Postmates.
Streets.
Uber.
That's funny. Oh my gosh, thank you for that. That was great. I always get freaked out when it's like, it's happening everywhere.
I know, you go to a red carpet and you think you meet Prince Charming and he's a killer.
No.
Yes.
Kind of last thoughts on the whole acting scene is I just think the play between Barry and Sally is also a really interesting dynamic. It's kind of like they're helping each other in to Barry's detriment. I feel like everything Sally does is almost to someone's detriment. You know, it's not the healthiest form. She doesn't know how to get it from just herself.
She's toxic. She calls him every time he's about to shoot somebody or something. Like, why are you calling me? I'm in the middle of a hit, okay? Stop calling.
Yeah, but you know how it is. When you have to rehearse, you're like, I'm not going to wait for you all day. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Your schedule's got to meet up. I mean, I know you killing people and stuff, but if we agreed to meet at 3:30 to rehearse,
why?
I'm going to need you to be there at 3:30. Because I get paid by the hour, dude. I can't be messing with you.
Why doesn't he put his phone on, like, off mode or vibrate?
That was, and that was my thing, too. Really, personally, I was like, it took Chris way too long to shoot that Bolivian. I was like, dude, I would kill you off of that. Like, yeah, I was like, honestly, you're irritating. He was like, Chris, come on, kill him. And Chris was like, he was like, Chris, yeah, if you text him where we are, we're all gonna die. Yeah. And finally he kills him. I was like, just shoot Chris in the head.
Right, he almost right killed Barry the way he was holding the gun. It was like, oh, if you move over to the side, right, exactly, you might get a straight bullet or something.
He might shoot Barry in the leg. So yeah, that is so irritating. Really, at that point, Chris was an amazing actor.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, you could kill him.
I did read that that whole scene with Chris kind of debating with the gun was a callback to the first episode that we saw Chris with his family at the carnival when he didn't know how to shoot the thing for his toy.
Yes.
But that, I mean, I am so a non-violent person, but if I had to kill someone because of the situation and then I found out later that they were also like gang members, like I'd be like, okay. Had to be done, you know?
And the one thing that surprised me was, which is so interesting with how it was written, like when Barry, because Barry tried to kind of give Kristen out, he was like, look, if we go and turn ourselves in, they will kill your entire family. Mm-hmm. I thought that would stop Chris. And Chris still turned around and was like, okay, I'll just turn myself in. They gonna kill your family. Did you not hear me just say that? So at that point, I was like, well, yeah, shoot him. Because if he don't care about his family, he's just so guilty. Just, you know, just let him go down
he
quick.
He wants to go to jail.
You know, he's like, yeah, I know my wife and son are going to be murdered, but I need to relieve my guilt. Like, yeah, just shoot him in the face. Right there.
Yeah, I think he was asking for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick thing, you guys, if you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure that you like this video if you like the video, and then comment after because the chat, we won't be able to see it after this video ends. And if you're listening on iTunes, make sure to rate us 5 stars and leave a comment there as well.
Of course they like it.
I know. The show has been so amazing.
I know.
What else I was going to say about the scenes?
Yeah.
Oh, the scenes were so much fun. Like, even the other little kooky people in the class, like, they were so cute. And they were donating it to domestic violence.
Yes.
And then we did see a few episodes with the like, quirky cops finally trying to piece together.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Let's talk about that. We have them in the kind of investigation room. And you mentioned that they have the recording. Don't know how they got that. Do you guys know how they got that recording of the...
They bugged the phone.
Either bugging the Bolivians or Gorn all along. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I just watched some of Narcos this weekend, so I assume they bugged the Bolivians anyway. You know, just
they, can they use that evidence in court? You're supposed to know when your phone is being tapped.
No, I don't think
Well, no,
you can.
But you can use it if there are ways to go into court, you know, like on all the other, like, cop
shows. Just catch them in the act.
Where they get approval by the court to bug certain people.
Or, yeah, or you could say, like, we do have... Or, like, usually it's the information leads them to solid evidence.
Yeah, like what they were saying about, oh, he's in the Marines, he killed people, and then she automatically looked at Barry, so that could have led to...
Yeah, but they do have ways where people are able to bug. Like, if they believe you're a known criminal, and they present it to the judge, then the
They'll
judge
let
will
you.
Prove, yeah.
That's
but don't they have to tell you? Or is
well,
it just,
no,
like, customer service?
No. I mean, I think it's like
really
if someone
dependent.
Else, yeah, I think if someone else is doing it, but if like the FBI or Homeland Security or whatever, if they approach a court and are like, obviously if we tell the person, they're not going to use the phone line. Mm-hmm. So that's how they've actually caught like a lot of drug dealers and stuff. But they just can't do it without getting court approval. But once they have to present something to the court that's like, oh yeah, you know, we've seen him and all these people go into his house and then they never come out again or whatever they tell the mm-hmm. court. And then the court is like, okay, you have so many time. So, you know, they give you amount of time to wiretap the people.
I'm like, let's get into predictions because I feel like things are going down.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Before we dive into predictions, one thing I want to say is I predict that this will be the show that, like, sneaks a lot of Emmys in. It's early to say, but there's always one new comedy that really does well with awards season. And I couldn't help but thinking this episode, I was like, this is the Emmy submission episode for all of these actors. Like, I was like, I think that Chris, whatever, whoever we were talking about, is going to snag a guest nom out of this one. I think this is Bill Hader's Emmy nom episode. Even, I think, Sarah Goldberg gave us a really lovely performance with her monologue.
I've never seen Bill Hader hit that level.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. I agree, Jeff. This is a great show.
Well, I don't know, Jeff, because I don't know, because the clips that they showed of Bill Hader next week, I'm like, he might kill it again next week. Yeah. When he's like, I'm out for good, I feel like he's just going to be like, I don't know.
Off the wall.
Yeah, off the wall. Yeah. So I got to wait till next week. But yeah, either one of these two. But definitely, I totally agree with you with the Emmy noms, because I feel like Henry Winkler has been killing it every single line, every single time. He's always like totally killing his role, like, so great. Like, everybody's hitting it so well. I feel like some definitely.
I agree. I think him and NoHo have this special thing where, for me, when every time they leave the scene, I'm like, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. I'm like, did they write that? Did they improv that? Because it's so, like, on point. The timing is so tight. So, yeah. Like, I definitely agree with Jeff on that as far as Emmy nominations.
My prediction is that they're going to war. Barry's going to be the general. He's going to be having the Chechens in check.
Chechens in check.
He's going to go to war with them. I think even though it's going to be reluctantly, he's got to hold down his turf. And it's all or nothing, because, I mean, Fuchs is still there, even though they want to kill him. And he has to protect him. And then he has to protect himself. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, so predictions. I think the biggest thing is Paula, Detective, what's our girl's name? Detective
Moss.
Moss, yeah. So she's pretty heavy on Barry right now. So I think that's going to be his biggest, I think at the end it's going to come down to her and him and Barry. I do think it's pretty likely, I think, that Fuchs probably will get killed in the crosshairs some kind of way. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, so Barry is going to have to take out either Goren or the head Bolivian. You know, I mean, you have to kind of take out somebody at the top to kind of make things so crazy that you can get away. So I think he's going to have to take out one of those two.
So who do you think the best choice is? I think the Bolivians.
Yeah, because I think the Bolivians will probably kill Goren anyway if Barry doesn't really help him. So, you know, he can kind of like do whatever. But the head Bolivian guy, I don't know. Like, he might think Barry's cool because Barry is good at his job. But, you know,
as long as they don't touch NoHo, I'll be fine.
Oh my gosh. Exactly. I think about that all the time. Thank
you. You know what? What if the next season we come back and NoHo is like head of the Chechens? Because I feel like Goren, somebody's on that biggest.
Yeah, NoHo has to go because he still hates Barry for killing his.
Isn't no, no, that's
that guy's dead.
Oh, it's not him.
One who was like, "Ooh, I miss Barry." I want him to be head of the Chechens next season, because that would be hysterical.
That's a great idea.
Although I'm still salty about the lipstick camera, but outside of that, I love him to death, and he can be head of the Chechens. And sadly, Big Goren will probably die.
It's so crazy to think that next episode is the finale.
I know.
Like, I'm not ready for that at all.
We haven't seen any progression with Sally and Barry, so I think it's going to take another maybe two seasons to get them married or something.
But it's such a good show that it's like, I'm glad they're not rushing that, because it should be a show that can develop a lot.
Right.
I do have a quote. Bill Hader does this really cool breakdown interview with Collider every week, and they ask him a few questions, and they asked him about the finale in this episode, and he said, episode 7 was more about basically figuring out the class story, and then episode 8 was kind of us now focusing a bit more on the crime side of stuff, and if he can manage to get out of that and be in the class full time. The conclusion, what happens in 8, was so much fun because writing the episode where it ends up going surprised us. There was one of the fun writer's room moments where you go, well, what if that happens? And you go, oh yeah, that's crazy. So what the heck more can happen? I don't know. I've been trying to formulate my predictions. I think there's definitely going to be more deaths. I just don't know what side yet.
More can happen, girl. Sally can end up learning how to shoot a 45 at some point on this show.
Yeah, you never know. I think Sally is just going to be like stalking that agent for the whole of the next episode. She's going to be sitting, she's going to be blowing up his phones and in his office. She's like so in her own world. Maybe by the end of the episode, she'll get Barry some again. I don't know.
I think she's gonna like make Barry be around all the time now because she's that selfish. Yeah. And be like, I need you as my muse.
Yeah.
I can and then they'll get married.
I can totally see her have a baby. Yes.
Do you guys have any final thoughts on the episode going into the finale?
Man, I just want them to tell us it's like 13 episodes because I want to keep watching and I hope the hiatus isn't too long.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know sometimes on the cable shows they can be a little longer.
Yeah, well, this, yeah, I don't know how HBO usually does. Do you know, Jeff? How
I think it depends. Like, Game of Thrones is always, like, super long because it's so much production. But, like, Insecure, Ballers, those things usually come back every
year.
I think it'll be a year. Yeah, I think it'll be a year. Yeah.
I can't wait a year, guys. What is wrong?
So it'll be Chapter 8, Know Your Truth. This is directed again by Alec Berg, who directed Chapter 7.
Okay.
It's written by Alec Berg and Bill Hader. So back to the first two episodes of writing. So, I mean, it makes sense that they would be closing off the vision of their creation. Yeah. I'm so excited about it, you guys. But in the meantime, where can people find you and chat with you?
You can find me on Instagram at Conversation Piece or Twitter, M-I-S-S Combo Piece, like a piece of cake.
All right, you guys. What's up, party people? I'm Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A-D as in door, Edwards. If you want to check me out again later tonight, like at 8 o'clock, I will be doing the panel, the AfterBuzz show for The Terror on AMC. And I'm also doing the AfterBuzz panel for Deception on ABC.
Awesome.
So check me out there, you guys. You know, it's not Barry, but those are still amazing shows. But check me out.
And you're amazing, so you should check out Erica. I'm Steph Sabraw. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabraw. But we will see you guys next week
for the finale.
Yes.
Thanks, you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
I'm so fitted.